welcome back. Hour two, Republic of Texas radio show. We got Tommy Attaway today. I guess it's the 19th of February, 2017, folks. Isn't that crazy? We were talking about a lot of different stuff the last hour, and we were talking about how to actually make Texas free again. Tommy Attaway has a strategy that is very sound. But we kind of got a little bit sideways talking about the Free State Project up there in New Hampshire. And I'm kind of wondering, because I had these thoughts myself, being following them. It's like, well, why not just move to New Hampshire there, Tommy, and just get behind the folks and, you know, let's pedal to the metal. What made you decide to stay in Texas and take on Texas?
Well, one of the criteria for success on these things, such as this Free State Project or Free County, for that matter, is the environment in which you're operating. And part of that environment is, what's the existing population's proclivities? What are they like? What sort of economy have you got to leverage off of? And so one of the things that I think makes the Free State Project less successful is the idea is, all right, we're going to get 20,000 people to move and make the difference. Well, in order for those 20,000 people to move, they've got to have jobs. They've got to have housing. They've got to have all of the infrastructure that's needed in order to sustain them. And, of course, 20,000 people spread across the state, even in a small state like New Hampshire, isn't that effective. And it's even less effective when you have what they refer to in New Hampshire as mass holes, who, because you're bordering Massachusetts, you know, will come to New Hampshire and live there because it's cheaper to live there, lower taxes, more freedom. But at the same time, they will then work in Massachusetts and, you know, contribute to that economy rather than the New Hampshire economy. And so what I'm looking at is, in order for it to be successful, first you've got to have the infrastructure in place, meaning people will follow the jobs. So the real appeal is to small business owners, to where you can say, would you like to operate your business in an area where you're going to have less burdensome regulations, where you can ignore a bunch of stupid mandates and get away with it? Once you've got that in going, then the people will follow, and it then should feed on itself, because nothing breeds more success like success.
Okay. Hey, Alan, you want to get in on this? Any thoughts?
Not at the moment, really. It's like I said, I was thinking earlier, you know, we're talking about good and bad. That's all really a matter of perspective. And unfortunately, if your perspective comes from the indoctrination you've gotten through our school systems, which they've taken over our children in this country, they have indoctrinated them with stuff that parents have no idea what their kids are being taught in school nowadays. So if your perspective comes from what they've been indoctrinated with in the school system, what we call bad, they would call good. You know, letting everyone and anyone that wants to come into this country here, letting them have anything and everything they want free, when the rest of us have to go out there and toil and struggle. They've not been taught that socialism only works until other people's money is gone, and then what the hell do you do? You know, no one knows how to do anything or produce anything, and you're lost.
So, you know, it's... I think I get where you get your point there. No, actually, I do get your point. Mass holes, that's a new word to me. Massachusetts workers that live in New Hampshire. That's kind of crazy. I guess they like the salaries of Massachusetts, but they want the taxes from New Hampshire. Is that the correct definition, Tommy?
That's pretty much it. And, of course, what happens is, once they get into New Hampshire, you know, then they start to complain about, okay, well, we're not getting all of these government services that we had in Massachusetts. And so that's running counter to the whole idea of the Free State Project, because now you're getting a population which tends to bring its evil attributes with it.
It wants to measure the lawn and say you have to cut the lawn at 2 inches, and, you know, we want bagels on Friday and stuff like that. We have that problem here in Texas, right, Tommy?
Yeah, and that's one of the things about when we have an immigration population, whether it be from a Muslim country, which has absolutely no concept of any of the things we value in Western culture, or from the more socialist states. And I even see it when I was living overseas with American communities. And, you know, they would want to try and fix places that they were living in into more like the place where they came from. Well, you left where you came from for a reason. And that reason is because it was totally screwed up.
Yeah, I totally get it. Hey, let's jump to the phone lines real quick. If you want to call in, feel free. We're going to keep Tommy on for a little bit longer. Our phone number is 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. I see we got Mike. Yeah, Mike out in Arizona. What's going on? How's Arizona today, Mike?
It's overcast and drizzling. At least we're getting some rain out here. You know, kind of some of the points that you had made up in the previous hour about the organization, you were referring to the OFA and Obama and things, and how they've used these unemployed and underemployed people, that they're utilizing them to write letters and organize and protest and riot and burn and arson and everything. And one of the things that I've looked through some of these histories, I haven't run them all out to the end, but the example, and you made references also about people that don't know about history or doomed to repeat it. Back in the 1990s in Africa, in Rwanda, they had a bunch of unemployed and underemployed Hutus, and they took them and they organized them into soccer teams. They indoctrinated them, and after a while, when they were developed into teams, then they took away their soccer balls and gave them machetes and pointed towards the Tutsis and said they were the ones for your sorry mess that you're in. And then there was the genocide in Rwanda in the 1990s. And I'm seeing a direct relation to what's going on, or as an example, a model of history that had happened with the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda is the same thing that's going on with the OFA. And the next example, or my supporting documentation, would be a project that had started in the 1990s here in the United States, where in some of the inner cities and the unemployed and the underemployed and gangs and violence, that it had started off originally with George Herbert Walker Bush talking about in his 1,000 Points of Light about midnight basketball, and then it kind of didn't really go anywhere. But under William Jefferson Clinton, during his administration, tens of millions of dollars were sent into these inner cities to organize these basketball teams. And now I might be giving these people a little bit more credit. Was it just a money-making scam? Or I guess the next part in our historical research is, would we look to see if the people and the coaches and the people on these midnight basketball teams, are they the ones that are the movers and shakers into OFA now and everything like that? And over to you.
Wow, that's a lot to chew on, but scary kind of too. What do you think about that, Tommy? I'm going to hand it off to you.
I think it's spot on, and this is the way that revolutionaries organize. And so if we look at the communist history, they tend to use the labor movement as their front organizations. The current crop of leftists and hardcore socialist communist revolutionaries, you know, now have all of these community programs. You know, these community action organizations, community organizers, it gives it kind of a nicer term because, well, in order to use a labor union, you'd be using people who normally had jobs. And so, obviously, people who don't work and are welfare recipients aren't members of labor unions. So this is another organizational model, and what they're doing is they are putting the infrastructure in place that is later used in order to conduct the revolution. And going along with that, they're also keeping tabs on all of their opponents so they know who it is that they want to kill within the first few weeks of taking over.
Do the little quickie, eliminate all those kind of people.
One thing that sticks in my mind, I remember watching that Rwanda genocide stuff. And one thing that sticks in my mind, if anyone's thinking that the United Nations is going to help in any way, anything, I remember seeing United States' blue-helmeted troops standing off in the background as these guys were running down the streets hacking people to death, just standing over there basically doing not a damn thing.
Yeah, it's scary because, you know, Mike, you brought this to the table, and it plays on my fear that we are heading for a violent future here in the corporate United States as all these groups are radicalized and turned up, and they're actively training each other to beat people up, saying that, you know, okay, so you got that Obama fight club thing, right, or the Trump fight club. So I'm a little leftist, and I, you know, I'm afraid that a Trump supporter is going to go over there and beat my head in, so I need to learn how to fight and do this and that. Well, yeah, actually, they've been beating up the Trump supporters. It's not the other way around, but somehow these folks got it in their minds, and I guess it's through repetition. A lie told often enough or long enough is going to sink in. But it doesn't paint for a beautiful picture of our future there, Mike, if you kind of see it that way. What do you think?
Well, I'm agreeing with you. Like you say, if we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat it. But what I see is, as they're organizing this, whether it's the OFA or the J20 or any number of these organizations, sometimes it's a numbers game. So they have these nationwide groups of people. So what we're seeing now with the startings of these protests, and it's not just something that had happened right now since the inauguration of Donald Trump. You know, you've got the knockout game and everything that's been going on long before we heard about Donald Trump. But what they're doing now is, you see, in the developments of undergrounds and insurgent and guerrilla movements, that it's always a number game. So they have to ask the question, or they'll put out these protests and strikes to see, number one, of how many people are in the groups, because they're all often operating in a self-action or a type of method of organization. And then the second is the time. How long does it take them from when we communicate that there's going to be a flash mob in this certain area, and how long does it take them to get to that area? And then the third is back to the numbers of, okay, you've got all these people in these groups, but how many of them are actually willing to get off their couch and get down to the movement? As a prime example of, I hate to say it, this patriot movement, the freedom movement, the militia movement, whatever you'd like to call it, in a roundabout way, it's pretty pathetic, because look at what happened in Phoenix, Arizona just a couple of weeks ago when they drop-kicked Rosita Juanita across the border because she's been here illegally for how many ever years and was ordered to be deported. But with it, while she had gone into the ICE building to report, and then it was announced that she was arrested, that evening they already had people congregated outside the ICE building and was blocking the van from leaving. It took them a relatively small amount of time to get organized. Well, they're already organized, and it was just a trial run to see how long it would take them to get to the protest, and it just grew the next day, and then it grew legs. But those are just examples. But a word to the wise, the patriot movement into this country, they need to pull their head out, and they need to get organized, and they need to start acting in an adult fashion, because these people over here, these J20s and the OFAs and the Black Lives Matter and all this other stuff, it's going to be Rwanda all over again.
Maybe so. Tommy, you want to build on that at all?
Yeah, I would amplify on 2 points. One is that the leftists are highly disciplined, and one of the reasons why they're so disciplined is that they have resources that they can allocate and use. And part of those resources is that they know that they have people inside the government, so when they go out and run riot in the streets, very few of their people, if any, are going to be arrested, charged with a crime, and do prison time. On the other hand, on the patriot side, okay, if we ran riot in the streets and we destroyed people's property and we caused some injury, we'll get arrested and prosecuted. So in my writing exercise, one of the game changers is when the IRS agents come to go raid on a financial institution. Instead of the raid being successful, the IRS agents get arrested and prosecuted by the state. Well, that changes things, because now you know that whenever you're acting, you can get away with it. And that is the first step in a successful insurgency, that you can defy the authorities and get away with it.
Plus, most of the people in the Patriot community are working people. They are law-abiding people. They don't want to go down. If they do protest, they don't want to become violent if you can get them to a protest. What impact does that really make when, like you said, they have all the backing behind them. They have the media. They have everything behind them, you know, to portray them as the good and, you know, us as the bad. So, and like I said, most people in the Patriot movement, as far as I can tell, are decent, you know, working people. You know, they're the ones who are the backbone of this country. And they can't just, you know, at a moment's notice, you know, pick up and, you know, say, hey, boss, I'm leaving to go to a protest. No, that doesn't work, you know. We're not the ones getting the free stuff and want this to perpetuate.
One of the reasons I like Texas so much as far as safety and the potential of Texas becoming an independent nation once again is probably for the fact that as these little groups, these things come together and want to produce violence, we are susceptible to those groups to a certain extent, more so in our bigger cities where they can actively assemble a group. Now, in the more rural areas, let's say where I live out in Fredericksburg, I kind of think they're like, let's get a whole bunch of people here together and we're going to go down Main Street and start breaking stuff. That ain't going to work. You know, a lot of the places, I have a lot of customers, clients that live all over the county. And one of the typical things is these folks... they grew up with firearms. They know how to use the firearms, and you walk through their front door, you walk out their back door. There's usually a shotgun or a rifle or something there because they have to protect their animals. And so they're used to using it. And I'm not too sure how these, you know, soccer players or whatever they are, they may, because they have their mass, you know, we remember Occupy Wall Street in all these cities, and I remember Occupy Wall Street out in Austin, Texas. The mass of several thousand people give a lot of strength to the individual inside, but I'm not too sure how much that individual has strength of character himself in rioting if he were to show up in Texas or Fredericksburg, I mean, and sit there and go, we want Trump out, and everybody just look at him going, huh? They have to come in a mass, and it's kind of hard to do that, how big Texas is. And so I find some solace in that. Any thoughts, Tommy?
Well, I'll use a concrete example. McKinney, which is a town north of Dallas, had an incident where a police officer arrested a black girl at a swimming party, and the new Black Panther Party decided they were going to show up in town and have a protest. Okay, fine. So they showed up one day. And the residents got a little bit annoyed, and myself and a few of my friends got calls. And we showed up the next day open carrying AR rifles, and of course the guys imported from Pennsylvania or Philadelphia or wherever. You know, all they had was their nice little cute black uniforms and their nightsticks. And, well, after we showed up with rifles, they weren't there the next day.
Yeah, I guess... that's one for the Steve thought. I like that a lot. What else you got for us, Mike?
No, that's it. You know, just to touch on this deal about the firearms, your mind is your primary weapon, and there's also this fixation on the guns. And it's there's a lot more to this about the organization and the leadership, and your firearms are about your most worthless piece of equipment. And you know, the sometimes the terminology, why was it the people up at the Bundy Ranch in Oregon, they were termed by the news media as anti-government, but you have these protesters that are out here in Ferguson and burning the town down and shooting police officers and execution style in Texas, but they're never termed as anti-government.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Republic of Texas Radio.
It's time. time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Okay, we're back. Republic of Texas Radio. We're joined by Tommy Idaway of Freedom Texas, freedomtexas.org. We were just talking with Mike out in Arizona, and there was an awful lot to talk about. Well, Mike wanted to remind us all that, talking about guns, the mind is the most important thing. And I totally, totally agree there, Mike. And that's why, when we do this talk radio thing, we talk to people all around us. Problem with the mind thing is, of course, when you're trying to communicate to a closed-minded person, you're not going to get very far. And if they're hardened into violence, it may take a big jolt for them to come back and actually reassess why they're into this violence, right? I don't know. That's just my thought on that, Tommy. What do you got?
Well, there's a whole spectrum of conflict that we've got to be able to manage successfully. And in terms of Army doctrine, we're now engaged in what's called an information operation, and that we have to have our own media outlets. We have to have our own means of communicating with our supporters and potential supporters that get our message out there, deliver it effectively, and it's very important also to get our message, our version of events, out there first. And this is extremely difficult for us to do because we're not well-financed, and the operations we have available to us, such as Republic of Texas Radio, typically are bootstrap operations. And so we don't have the loud megaphone that our opponents do, because they've been able to take over the organizations that have been in the news business for over 100 years. so they have an enormous advantage. The other thing is on the other end of the conflict, a million guys with rifles is not a million-man army. And, you know, that looks more like the Iraqi army rather than the U.S. army. And so the thing that makes that organized armed presence effective is its ability to know tactics, to communicate, and to be disciplined, and have a functioning chain of command. And that's something that's very difficult for us to put together as Americans because we're such individuals.
Yeah, except for the groups that seem to be, well, I don't know, able to fund this whole thing and find people that are willing to be behind whatever they're behind. Hey, Doc, you've been quiet. What are your thoughts?
Well, two things. I think history is at the local level and what the neighborhood remembers when they look back, like in that book from Allen's Part of the World, Our Way of Life. The main problem I see today is the inner cities have so much free stuff given out that everybody has plenty of time to protest and do all these things because they don't have jobs. So to me, if you need assistance, you should have to pitch in and work for that assistance in some way, and that would bring a lot of this to a halt. And secondly, on the immigration stuff, everybody keeps using the word immigrant and forgetting the word illegal. And so we're teaching, and Alan led to this a little bit earlier, we're teaching the children today that not only do you break the law and go wherever you want, but the laws mean nothing. So I guess the same kids that are growing up think, if I want that Coke in the grocery store, I walk in and take it because mom and dad have taught me that breaking the law is okay. And on top of that, we get free stuff. So there's no incentive to try to get along and do the right thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the problem, you're right on. Let's just go there, Doc, to a certain extent. But it's history. These people don't know history. You can tell them about things, and then they believe they understand history. A lot of them don't understand, you know, the very basis of the Roman history, you know, let alone U.S. history. I can say that easily because I've learned that I don't know enough about it. So, well, that's what makes people like you, Tommy, kind of special in the world. You educate people a lot. Really appreciate, you know, you coming on the air today. Anything else you need to get out there? What else do you got for us?
No, I mean, I think we've covered a fair number of topics, and as Doc mentioned, you know, it's the entitlement mentality, and it's all part of socialists trying to turn the United States into their version of the socialist paradise, which, of course, is only one more murder away from utopia.
Well, we'll grab you back on the air really soon here, Tommy. Appreciate hearing from you. Have a good ride. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from takefromcaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit takefromcaesar.us for more information.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Okay. Well, that was a lot of fun. It's always great to have Tommy Attaway on. We always learn something or other. But I kind of want to drag this back to the world we live in today. You know, I tell you guys a little bit about Fredericksburg, Texas, and, you know, a little part of the world that I live in. And, you know, if you're a regular listener, you'll remember us talking about how last year in 2016, there was a real rainy day. And it was an unfortunate event, and some lady, actually she was a kid, somewhere around 18, 19, somewhere around there, driving down in a little Toyota pickup, and it's on a swath of highway called 290. Well, she was going a little too fast, hydroplaned, hit another car, went across the way and smashed into another truck, and four people died, and there was it was a big to-do. Now, during that time, the next night, or actually the same night that happened, a big thing popped up on Facebook, Friends of 290, we got to lower the speed limit got to go lower. So it did. It went lower just a little bit ago, probably about a month ago. And I'm there, you know, people are saying to me, they're saying, you know, Steve, you should back down. The 60 miles an hour might actually do something. You know, we've got a lot, it's a pretty dangerous place. But, and I went ahead and I backed down for a second, you know, and I just wanted to see what was going on. But now I'm just getting reports of, well, belligerent people driving on 290. And I've been seeing that, and I'm adhering to the speed limit, 60 miles an hour, but they want to go faster. They want to tailgate me. They want me to give me a little bit of a, well, what for, you know, teach me a lesson. And I don't like that. I really don't. If they wanted to bring Austin to Fredericksburg, they surely did. And it's not a very good change. Now, are the next 2, 3, 4 accidents that happen here on 290 West, are they going to go back and say, well, maybe we should bring it back to 70 because that didn't work? No, that just doesn't happen, folks. Well, the revenue from the police department, well, a lot of them do. The sheriffs are going to get money. The state troopers are going to get money because they get to, you know, do the tolls on the road. And that pisses me off, Alan. I know you probably have my same thoughts about that mess, but you don't live over here on this side.
I drive it periodically, yes, and I know it is crazy over there. The traffic is just unbelievable in Fredericksburg here. It used to be a quaint, small little town. You know, it didn't take you 15 minutes to pull out on Main Street sometimes because the traffic is so intense now. And all that lowering the speed limit does is it gives people the perception that the government is trying to keep them safe, but it is still instilling no personal responsibility into the people behind the wheels of those vehicles. Did that little girl know, did anyone ever tell her about hydroplaning? Did anyone tell her that it's a possibility of driving in rain that you lose, you know, traction with the road and things can happen? All right. No, they're talking about banning firearms. The most dangerous thing most people do in their whole life is get behind the wheel of a car. Right. Because there are so many people out there that are just given licenses, and yeah, after taking some little test, they're not ever really taught about the dangers and that they have to keep control. It's a several thousand pound, you know, instrument of death. You know, if you're looking at it the right way, it can be much more damaging. It is much more damaging than what firearms do in this country every year.
Oh, definitely. Well, I just wanted to open with that little bit because that's kind of stupid, and they've created a less safe environment with everybody perceiving that they can go as fast as they want and forcing us to pay attention to go 60, because I don't want to pay the toll collector for going 70. It really calculates. I calculated it out, and the amount of time that I lost in going 60 to 70 was something like 23 to 28 seconds. You know, I really don't get to town very, very much faster, so it's a wash, you know, for me either way. But now it's a hostile road. But that's not exactly what I wanted to talk about this episode, or at least this segment, should I say? But I had an interesting interaction last week. And it's one of those people that, Alan likes to call control freaks. And, you know, it started very simply. You know, I'm sitting there supposed to bring my son over to a dentist appointment, and the dentist office calls me up, and the lady goes, hey, can you come in an hour early? I said, yeah, let's do it, man. You know, let's get it done. So I drive over there, and hey, once you're ready that clip, I'll tell you when to play it there, Sam. I drive over to the dentist's office, and, you know, I'd never been there, right? It was new to me, and, you know, my wife had told me where it was, but she didn't tell me exactly the address. And so I drove back up and down the street. I'm going, where is this? I don't see anything called that. Ah, I have a phone. I'll just call that number that, you know, called me, you know, and ask them the address. Hey, this is what happened when I called that that phone number and asked for the address. And it's kind of a weird human-ish story. Tell me if I dealt with this chick wrongly or something. What did I do wrong here? Hey, Sam, play the clip for me.
Creek Street Dental, this is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl. What was your address?
Yes. Are you a patient coming towards us, or?
Yes. Well, maybe. Depends on your address. Because I could be going away from you.
Okay. So have you seen us before?
Yes. What was your address?
Okay. And what is your name?
Dang. Can I get an address?
Well, yes, as soon as I kind of establish what's going on here, yes.
I'll find you on my own.
Okay, it's a quick clip. Alan, what did I do wrong? What happened there? I couldn't get her to give me the address.
They want to be, like you said, they want to be in control. They want to know exactly who you are. It's just one of those petty things in life. This is the little control freaks that eventually everyone wants to be, you know, if you want to call it the Adolf Hitler of the world. You know, it's these little ones who, this is what the society has turned into. They don't feel that you have a right, even, that's difficult, Steve.
I get it. And, you know, after having that conversation, I'm like going, did I do something wrong? I don't know. I really need to get this boy in to see the dentist guy. So I went to, you know, my phone and I did a search and I found the address. And 45 seconds later, I'm in, you know, in the door talking to this lady that I just had a weird conversation with, you know, filling out the forms and reading a whole bunch of questions that I don't like. Talking to me about fluoride and liking fluoride, or, you know, just don't really support dentists necessarily. I think they're very, the group of them. Yeah, I don't know what to say there. Doctor,
I can tell you one thing. You go into a doctor's office or dentist's office, they sit you down and say, okay, fill out these forms. There are all kinds of questions on those forms that you don't have to answer. Because I have not answered three quarters of the questions on those forms and handed it back to them, and they say, okay, we'll see you in a few minutes. So people are just giving away their information. They're so used to it anymore. I like my privacy. Everyone out there doesn't need to know everything about me and everything that I do and everywhere that I go. I deserve my personal privacy. You know, and those forums are just getting more and more, and people just give away their information without even thinking about it anymore, and it will come back to bite you in the ass, people.
You know, I noticed that on a lot of the questions. I'm all, how is that pertinent? Hey, Doc, you have a similar line of business to a dentist. What were your thoughts on that and the forums and whatnot?
Well, first, I agree with Alan. The paperwork really doesn't serve a lot of purpose unless there's something you need to attach in the way of a history or test or something, because most of that we're going to get when we get in a room and it is private and it stays between you and the doctor or the dentist, whatever. The call you made sounded to me like they were screening for fear of something. And I don't know what was going on in that little office, but she was really screening to make sure you didn't have that address and you didn't get there unless it was approved and you were something they wanted to see. So there's something else was going on in the background there. You handled it very well. In fact, I've had patients who had difficulty with my receptionists and office managers. And when they came in, they were not very happy and they let me know. And you handled it very well. And even when you told me the story, you handled it very well. So there's something she was screening for. There's something they were worried about. And she just could have said, this is the address and we'll be glad to see you.
Now, there was other interesting interactions at the dentist office with me because, well, I am me, right? And so we go in there, the kid goes in, all these whatever, taking x-rays. New customer comes in or a customer comes in, he signs out his paperwork and does this and that, and receptionist chick who I kind of brushed, she had offense to me as far as I could tell. Like, maybe I mutually returned that to some extent towards the end. But I listened to her argue with this patient and tell him how he has a back due money that he hasn't paid since last year and that they're sending it to collections. And I'm kind of like going, are you kidding? And he's going, oh, okay, well, I'll take care of that. And she goes, well, we're sending it to collections. Yet they bring him into the office and let him rack up some more money in the bill. How is that for a business to operate, right? You know, you sit there and this guy comes in and, you know, makes an appointment, gets his checkup or whatever. Then they say, oh, by the way, you owe us money. You haven't paid your deductible. And we're sending it to to collections, and then we're going to add whatever your deduction is for this on to something else. Strange business you guys are in there, Doc, or at least the people that collect insurance. I don't know if you still do that.
Well, no, and you were not allowed to hear that. That's called patient confidentiality, and unfortunately for that patient, they didn't realize what just happened, but that was illegal. And even without rules and laws, more importantly to me, that should have been done in private. You shouldn't have to have a law to protect your confidentiality. And the fact that you heard that would have made me get up and walk out of there, but I would have told them on my way out the door that you putting that person's business in public is wrong and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Now, I look at business, right, and I see you creating things, and I see dentists and doctors as doing something useful. You know, they do take care of people, you know, to a certain extent. They are overly regulated. Sometimes they're, well, very greedy. I know the dentists have been definitely accused of that. And it turns out that my son needed two cavities filled. And so they went ahead and put in little temporary thingies. And, you know, I go, well, how much? Well, I don't handle how much. And it's like, okay, because let's just get this thing on the road, right? Got to do it. So I go up to the front, right, and I talk to my favorite new best friend, and she's like, well, here it is. It's going to be, you know, $594 for the two fillings. And I look at the piece of paper, and I go, really? Okay, that's cute. Okay, you got $238 for the preparing the surface for the filling, and then another, you know, $25-$35 for the actual dab of putty or whatever the heck they put in there. And all of a sudden we're at $600. And hey, you know the good part though? Maybe they can do that in an hour. You know, all of a sudden you don't have to be there for longer than an hour and give them $600. Something's wrong there, Doc. You know, something's insurance. Seriously wrong.
And insurance
is that it,
the
Doc?
Insurance companies.
What do you think? Okay. You want to care to expand, Alan?
Before the Obamacare came in, the place that I used to go, I paid cash. I didn't have insurance. They would give me a slight discount. It's not as much as I thought it should have been because, when you're giving them straight cash, they don't have to go through all the rigmarole of applying, sending these charges into the insurance company, getting them approved, and yada, 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 and the paperwork builds and builds and builds. And all that insurance does is increase the paperwork, give useless jobs to people out there creating more paper, creating more digits in a system. When if you want to pay cash straight off, they're making their money and they don't have to do anything else for it. They should give a tremendous discount, in my opinion, because they don't have to go through all that rigmarole.
You know, I tried that, Alan. I did. I honestly did. My new best friend, handed me a piece of paper, and it's all $600. Okay, that's great. So I took that $600, and I took $100 off, and I said, I pay cash. This is what I'm going to pay. And she says, it doesn't work that way. I said, why not? I know you don't get paid the same amount of money you do from the insurance companies that they dictate how much money that they're going to give you. You might bill them $600, but they don't necessarily pay that. And she says, well, it just doesn't work that way. And so I ended up leaving. I said, well, I guess I'm going to go someplace else and I'll figure out a better deal or somebody that's actually going to be nice to me or something like that. I'm going to throw this to you, Doc, real quick before we go on to Mike in Kentucky. Hold on. Doc, go ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right. And so is Alan. They're, unfortunately, with the laws, they tell you you can't give a cash discount without creating what we used to call a hardship piece of paper. And then they sign it and you can give them a cash discount. And Alan's absolutely right. It costs a lot less because you got to pay to electronically file and you still got to maintain paperwork. And so it is nice to deal in cash, and you can give a discount. And we did it in my office all the time. But because of the crazy regulations and Obamacare, you had to cover your tracks with all the right paperwork. So if somebody paid cash, the insurance company couldn't complain. And what's bad about the dental office is they know that insurance company couldn't pay what you were going to pay. and yet they were going to beat you up and make sure they got from you what they would have billed the insurance company, even though they wouldn't have got that much from the insurance company.
Right.
That's just wrong.
Well, you said it earlier to me, you know, last week or something like that, that was because they have to be fair to the insurance company by not letting me get a discount for cash, right?
Correct. So what you look at is how much do I usually get paid from this insurance company, and how much is it saving me to deal with this person on cash and find a happy medium?
But
this dental office, they were just trying to take advantage, and they probably get away with it every day because there's a lot of people coming through Fredericksburg that are tourists with money that pay when they need the dentist.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just irks me. I don't know where I'm going with my position on this dentist. I know I'm not going back there. There's a lot of better alternatives. I think that they got some errors in their practice, and this person that they got working for might need to be reined in a little bit, and it might behoove me just to kind of give them a heads up. I think that's the right thing to do. Hey, Mike in Kentucky, we'll get you right after the break. Hang on, man.
Here we are, so very far. With both our best intentions, I wish I paid attention. It's like you said, it's in my head. We can't run circles till the morning comes. When it does, I know it's on. It's you and I. When is it for the sun?
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had gout in both my knees, and it's gone.
Well, I'm pretty stupid. I should have ordered it, 15 years ago. It's the most effective product that I've ever bought in my life.
He had eczema on his hand, and it cracked for years. Mm-hmm. He did anything from doctor, every cream, everything. And 3 months on the veggies and fruit, it was gone.
They're just awesome. They keep asking me, what am I doing? I told them what I did with my cholesterol. I had the blood test, right? And it went down 100 points. 262, now it's 162. Everything is just perfect.
Balance of Nature is celebrating its 20th anniversary by providing you the best offer they've ever given. 2 free months of fruits and veggies and free shipping. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code TALK.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, Mike in Kentucky, are you there?
I'm here, if you can hear me.
We got very little time. I can hear you.
Okay.
What's going on, man?
Couple of other factors in this insurance reimbursement that you're talking about real quick is that's what, you know, the insurance companies negotiate for a group rate. And so what that does is that motivates the provider to jack their prices way up because they know they're going to negotiate down for group rates with these different insurers. And where it gets really corrupt is when the government owns these insurance companies, or worse yet, a hospital chain or hospital entity owns controlling stock in this insurance company. We had this happen in Kentucky. Lee Todd, the president of University of Kentucky, probably, 12, 13 years ago, he announced this initiative to become a top 20 research facility. And in the news articles, it said they were selling off some of their assets in addition to laying off all these people. And one of the things they were selling off was their 90% stake in CHA Health, which all of the state workers in the state of Kentucky were insured by that. And they sold it off to Blue Cross and Blue Shield, I think. But the other funny part was that I had picked up on was another news story. Appalachian Regional Healthcare, ARH, had jacked up the cost of living increase of their insurance, and it erased the cost of living increase for the nurses and other healthcare workers. So the nurses all went on strike about a year prior to this. They owned something like 9%. So you've got two different hospitals, University of Kentucky and Appalachian Regional Healthcare, owning 99% of this insurance company. I don't know who held the other 1%, but obviously they're negotiating with themselves for the reimbursement rates they're going to get for the holders of the group policies there. So that's the level of fascism we're dealing with here, and it just goes, I think, right across the whole insurance industry. So when you try to negotiate for a cash deal, and I've had this happen. I even had this happen at an eye care place where I was between insurance, and I had an eye injury I wanted them to look at, and tell me. Basically, they just looked and said, yeah, it's just going to take a year to heal. I forget what it was, a little retina pucker or whatever they call it. And I asked a couple of different situations where I didn't have insurance. I asked up front, how much is this office visit going to cost? How much is this office visit going to cost? And they would tell you. And if they tell you, and you can, prove it that that's what's going to cost, when you get done and they send you a bill in the mail, and it's for way more than what they told you, then that borders on mail fraud. And then if they add in itemized statements that says you had insurance when you didn't, there's some more mail fraud in there. So, there's just corruption all through, the medical profession, I'm afraid. And I have a copy of the bill that iPlace sent me that said that they billed my insurance when they knew full well I didn't have insurance. And you don't have to give them a Social Security number, because when I was growing up, my parents did not have to get a Social Security number for me to claim me as a tax deduction. That didn't start until sometime way up in the 1980s. And so I never had to memorize it in school. And that's what I tell them. They say, well, don't you have it memorized? I'm like, no, I don't. I never had to memorize it in school. It was like a bonus question on tests, and my dad never had to get me a Social Security number, so I just never did bother memorizing it. And they'll write up a chart for you and start a record. You can protect your privacy that way.
I don't know. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate you. Man, we're out of time again, folks. Well, join us next week, where we will talk about Texas independence, the world around us, and I don't know if I'm going to continue to talk about the dentist, but Public of Texas Radio, have a good weekend.
Little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends. We are.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs, which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.